2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. Thank y'all for getting that whole senior adult trip thing fixed. It was going to cause a church split here in just a second if y'all didn't get that done. I know that y'all worried about it. And I thank you for that. I just want to tell you, I did not get your pastor the information on the questions, but he will have it by tomorrow. We had a little stuff. We are just, FYI, just if you'd like to pray for the ministry that Bucky Kennedy Ministries, we're about to release our app. And so we had some stuff to work with it. And so if you get our newsletter, you will know when that app comes out. It will have a couple of podcasts. Our blogs are on there. Devotions are on there. It's kind of a one-stop shop place, and it's all free, so it's not even shopping. But we hope to have that out in the next 6 to 7 days. And if you follow us on social media, whether it's Instagram or Facebook or whatever, Twitter, you can keep up with that. But the best way to keep up with what we do is go to BuckyKennedyMinistries.org and subscribe to the newsletter. And it will let you know. And the one thing about that is you get a written devotion to your email every Monday. I think some of y'all get that already. Do you get it? Some of y'all here get that? Anybody in here get that? Dan gets it. Nobody else gets it. Why aren't y'all? Do y'all even? Thank you so much. You get back, thank you so much. And why aren't y'all getting that? That's a shame. Do y'all even have email? Do y'all get email up here in LJ? Y'all like, some of y'all like my dad. My dad says he's not on Facebook. This is how my dad says. So he'll call me up and he'll ask me something about one of his grandchildren, my nieces, nephews, or something like that. And I said, Dad, how'd you even know about that? And he said, well, I saw it on Facebook. I said, but you're not on Facebook. He said, well, I don't post anything on Facebook. I said, so you're just a stalker. He didn't know what that meant either. He just said, So if you'd like to, again, BuckyKennedyMinistries.org, and you can go there and it'll tell you where to sign up for the newsletter, and then you can keep up with us, or you can go to Facebook at Bucky Kennedy Ministries. My personal page doesn't have any more spots, so they tell me I'm at my limit. Every once in a while, there are people that will unfriend me, and it will go back up, and I don't understand why they unfriend me. I didn't even know they were friends to begin with. And that's funny about that. You have 5,000 people on there. I don't have 5,000 friends. I mean, I'm just saying that. I can only name about 3 or 4 on any given day. So anyway, that just to tell you that. And so we were tied up in getting ready to promote this app. I want to talk to you tonight about regaining your edge. Regaining your edge. And this is a familiar passage. In 2 Kings chapter 6, we're going to be reading in verse 1. If you would, please stand in honor and reverence of the word of God. It said, now the sons of the prophet said to Elijah, behold, now the place before you where we are living is too limited for us. Please let us go to the Jordan and each of us take from there a beam and let us make a place there for ourselves where we may live. So he said, go. Then one said, please be willing to go with your servants. And he answered, I shall go. So he went with them, and when they came to the Jordan, they cut down trees. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried out and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. Then the man of God said, where did it fall? And when he showed him the place, he cut off a stick, threw it in there, and made the iron float. And he said, take it up for yourself. And so he put out his hand and took it. Father, I pray you'll speak to us tonight, encourage us tonight. Lord, that you would lift us up tonight. God, I believe this is a word for all of us. I believe it's an encouragement for any of us. And God, I pray that you would speak to one of us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I believe that I've been doing this for over 35 years. Some of you have been in church longer. Some of you have been a member of this church longer than I've been alive, possibly. I don't know. But I do know this. I have seen some things happening, and there seems to be a weariness that is constant and always in amongst believers, especially those that are active in the body of Christ and that are diligent about their faith. There seems to be a weariness that has encompassed the people of God in a lot of places. I started recognizing that as a pastor and started just looking. And so we were constantly looking at our calendar and trying to pull back some of the things that we're just doing for the sake of doing it. Matter of fact, I know this is rare in Baptist churches, but we actually stopped doing some ministries that we had started some time ago. Because in Baptist churches, we start all kinds of things. We don't stop nothing. Y'all know that, don't you? I mean, because somebody's grown an attachment to it, and so we got to keep it going because we're concerned that somebody might be offended if we actually stopped it. Well, we just started measuring our ministries by their productivity and not by their availability. Y'all ever done that? If you start just measuring ministry by what it's producing, you'll stop some things. And so we were always conscious of that because we like I said last night, we just had a select number of people, not because we designed it to be, but they just seemed to be always the ones that were working in certain areas. And so I just started noticing that there was a weirdness. There was a weirdness in my staff. There was a weirdness in my own life. And so it's not necessarily the cause of any sin or anything. There were just people weary. So in this text, we're going to see that this servant got weary and he lost his axe head. Have you ever noticed or wondered why in the Bible it has so much to say about encouragement and perseverance and companionship? You know, the Bible says a lot about that. And so you read verses like Galatians 6:9, let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. Again, that's a verse of perseverance, of encouragement. How about Hebrews 12, verses 12 and 13? Therefore, strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble, and make straight paths for your feet so that the limb which is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. He's talking about people coming alongside each other and helping us walk on level ground. How about Matthew 11, 28 and 29? Most of you should know this by heart. Come to me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Scripture is full of those type of verses when it's calling us as believers to rest. Well, I want us to see some things here in this text that I hope will help you understand how to rest, why it's important, and if you've lost your edge, how to get it back. And so we see here, this text gives us types in Scripture. Now, type is a representation of a reality in the New Testament, so to speak. For instance, Elisha would be a type of Jesus for us, that he would represent Jesus in this text. The prophets are servants, those who are constantly serving the Lord, that are in the work of service. And the axe head would be the power of the Holy Spirit. So these are types that we come upon and that we look at in this text. And so we see some things here. First, I want you to see there's a right relationship. Do you know for you to get burnt out spiritually, you have to have a relationship with Jesus to be spiritually burnt out? You can't be spiritually burnt out if you've never been saved. But these prophets, these servants, had a right relationship, and it was a qualification for what they were doing. You can see this in chapter 6, verse 1. Now the sons of the prophet said to Elijah, behold, now the place before you where we are living is too limited for us. Please let us go to the Jordan and each of us take from there a beam and let us make a place there for ourselves where we may live. So he said, go. We see that these prophets, these servants, they were sensitive and responsive to a need. Apparently, they were all living together. It was close quarters, and they needed a little bit more space, so they were sensitive to a need. And so they set out about doing it. They sought permission before they progressed. They didn't just haul off and go into the woods and start cutting stuff down. They went to Elisha, who was authority over them, and said, hey, can we do this? They did everything right. They presented their need before they went forward to it. They realized their dependence upon him. They said, please be willing to go with us, your servants. In other words, they didn't want to go if he didn't go. Sounds a lot like Moses in Exodus 33:15 when he said, if your presence does not go with us, don't take us from here. In other words, hey, God, if you're not going, we're not going. I mean, these are pretty sophisticated. These are pretty people that are, these prophets are pretty intent that we're not trying to do anything outside of the power and the purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ. These prophets just weren't with Elijah. They were abiding with him. They were in communion with him. They were in fellowship with him. John 15:4-5 says, abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit for itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. I want you to understand, he says, it didn't say you could do some things. It says, from apart from me, you can do nothing. These prophets realized that if Elijah doesn't go, they don't need to go, because apart from Elijah, they really can't do anything. And so we need to understand this. Let me ask you something. Are you judging your spiritual productivity by the intent of your heart or by the production of it? See, a lot of times what we do is we judge what we intend to do. What we need to do is take an account of what we actually do. That's why I say at times you, in how you do ministries and what you're going to do, you have to ask yourself this question. Is what I'm doing being productive? Is what I'm doing being fruitful? Is what I'm doing, is it doing what God would want it to do? And so these guys, they were not just asking Elijah, hey, Elijah, we think we'd like to go down to the Jordan and cut some trees and build a house. What you think about that? No, they wanted him to go with them. So here's the deal. A lot of times you can lose your fervor in doing all the right things. A lot of times we think we get tired because we've done something sinful or something. Now, that sin can take your energy away. Sin can do it. We talked about that. Sin can mess with you. Sin can do all that. But a lot of times these guys were all doing the right thing. They all went about their business. They were in a right relationship. They worked together. Verse 4 says, and when they came to Jordan, they cut trees. They all got together. They were of one heart, one mind, one activity. Listen, do you know that you can do everything right and still get tired doing right? Did y'all know that? Wrong can wear you out in a hurry. Right can make you tired too. I'm just telling you, you can do right things and get tired. Can I get a witness? I mean, I'm telling you, my son-in-law came and asked me to keep my granddaughter for a little bit today, and she about wore me out, and she can't even crawl tonight. I mean, she was just the fact of her, the energy in her eyes made me tired. I'm just telling you. See, you can do the right thing and it just wear you out. But here's what happens. If you don't reckon, well, I'm preaching, I'm getting ahead of myself. Y'all hold on. Quit. Y'all slow down. You're listening. Goodness gracious, y'all are so aggressive tonight. Not only is there in a right relationship, but there's a servant at risk. Now, listen what happens. In verse 5, it says, but as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. Now, here's this guy. You can see it. Can I tell you, he's working with passion. He's out there. You can just see he's out there. Everybody's working together. They're excited. Elisha's with them. They're building a new building that's going to help them, give them more space. And he's just out there working away. He's working with passion. And he doesn't even recognize that his axe head is getting loose. It's a gradual process. Getting tired, getting worn out, doesn't happen all at once. It's a gradual process. When I talk to people about when sin does take care of them, I always remind them that sin is never sudden. It usually comes along with consistent, subtle compromise that creates a sudden and significant problem. It's the same thing in backsliding. No one ever intends to backslide. It's just something that they're not paying attention to. He is passionate about his work. He is effective in his work. He cares about it. He wants to get that tree down. But he's also conscious of his loss. See, here's what he knew. He valued the axe head. Why did he value it? Because it wasn't his. He said, Lord, that's not mine. See, you got to understand something. Back in the day, an iron axe head, a steel axe head, it was valuable. And if he got that, the person that loaned that to him showed great trust in him. You know something? The power that we must minister in, the power that we must live in, is not ours, it's his. And we must recognize its power. And I guarantee you, if you've ever worked in the power of the Holy Spirit, you know when you haven't. He recognized it. He recognized in this thing that I'm at risk here. The power that he said, there's a noticeable difference between working in the power of the Holy Spirit and not working in the power. Zechariah 4:6 says, then he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. He was distressed by it. See, that's what happens. when you know what it is to work in the power of the Holy Spirit, and then you recognize that you've lost that power, it becomes distressful. So how do you get it back? I'm so glad you asked. This is the best part of the whole sermon. It's about to get really good. Y'all listen to this. You know what he did first thing? How did he get this back? First thing he did, he immediately stopped working. He immediately stopped working. Okay, I want to say something to you today, and I don't know anything. I love your pastor, and he's a dear friend. We haven't talked much about your church, and he hadn't told me anything about your church. He hadn't complained about it, griped about it. As far as I know, he loves it. He's not told me anything otherwise. So I'm not saying this because of anything that he said. I'm saying this based on experience. If you love your pastor and wish to keep him, make sure he's resting. Make sure he's resting. One of the valuable things I had at Vidalia was there were some strong spiritual men around me who made sure I rested. Now, what did they do? They held me accountable. They made sure that I was taking time away when I needed to take time away. Y'all know Jesus did that. Jesus did that and only lasted 3 years. We don't do it, and we're doing a lot that we shouldn't do. And I'm telling you, as a believer, if you're a pastor, I want to give you permission. You need to go rest sometimes. Now, let me tell you what rest is not. Rest is not a week at the beach with your family, your children, and your grandchildren. That ain't rest. Matter of fact, that's just the opposite of rest. I'm just telling you, Stacy and I, you know, we go to the beach, and our kids are older, and last couple times been to the beach just me and her, but we sit there and we watch these families. I mean, they take U-Hauls out there filled up with stuff, and I mean, they're setting up tent cities on the beach, and it's just one of those things, and you know, and then they realize they've forgotten something, and then you're running around with these kids, and you're chasing them down, and then when it's time to go, you can start hearing them talk about where they're going to go eat, and the stress and the strain of having to go eat, and get those kids who've been out in the sun far too long, and they're whining and crying, and adults are too, and you're sitting there, and then they got to go eat, and then they're going to hang out, play games after that, and then they're going to get up early in the morning because they got to get that spot back before anybody else gets down there to that spot. And so they designate somebody to go and get down there. And I'm just telling you, no wonder you sleep in 100-degree heat. You're worn slap out. You're delirious. And then by the time you get to the end of the week and come back home, you're begging to go back to work. Y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? That ain't rest. Rest is not going off just tell you, when you're sitting there, if you've got a load of wagon and the wagon you're going, you're not going to rest. I'm just telling you. Rest is when you're able to get away and rest. It's to free your mind and to free your body from exertion and stress. You need to stop. You need to stop. Work with pastors all the time. They're the worst people in the world to try to tell them to stop. Brother Dudley, just don't stop. Staff members, don't stop. Because they're scared to death that somebody in the church is going to say something about them. And I just free them up. They're going to say it. Get over it. But I used to tell, I had Sunday school workers. I had people in my church. I used to tell them, I said, listen, would you do, I would go into, because here's what I'd find. I'd find out that in a nursery specifically, there were people that would just go in there and they were always the catch-all. Somebody wouldn't show up, and so they'd go in there. So they never made it into worship service. And so I'd go in there and root them out. And tell them, as long as you sit here and do this, everybody's going to call you. You need to come and worship. You need to have your soul fed. But there are times they ought to just rest. And some people don't rest because there's a great need. Some people don't rest because they don't want to. They think they've got to just be there. If they're not there, the place is going to fall apart. That's not true either. When you recognize that you're running on a spiritually empty tank, the first thing you ought to do is stop. Because anything you do beyond that is not going to make much difference. It's not done in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not done in the glory of the Lord. It's just done in your own might. And you're just, all you're going to do is you're going to get tired. Love that wonderful hymn, work your fingers to the bone. What do you get? Bony fingers. Hallelujah. He made a clear and complete confession. He said, Elijah, I have lost it. When I feel myself in the ebb and flow, you know what I do? I get before the Lord and I said, Lord Jesus, I feel myself running low. I know that I'm just tired. I'm tired in the work. I'm tired of the work. I'm tired. And Lord, I'm telling you, I've lost my edge. I've got some men in my life that I call and I begin to ask them, I said, would you pray for me? I've lost my edge. And I need to stop. One thing I've learned in the ministry, I've learned to pace the schedule. I've learned to say no, that every church that calls, I don't get to go to. I'm not going to, because I realize that if I just go, I'm going to lose my edge. And I recognize the season of life I'm in. Physically, I'm not as young as I am. Mentally, I'm probably younger. At least my wife says I am. She says I'm still childish at times. But I realize in the season of life I am, that there are some things that I just don't have the wherewithal to do anymore and the pace to set anymore. But I still want to do ministry, and I want to do ministry as long as I can. So I have to learn what it is. Lord, when I understand it, when I recognize it, because I recognize when I'm working in the power of the Lord and when I'm not working in the power of the Lord. I recognize it. It is significant. It's noticeable. And it may not be. Listen. It's not noticeable to others, but it's noticeable to me long before it would become noticeable to anybody else. My wife notices it, and she'll tell me. So there's a clear, and then I have to go back. Look what he says. He loses it. So in verse 5, but as one felling a beam, the axe head fell off the water, and he cried out and he said, alas, my master, for it was borrowed. Then the man of God said, where did it fall? Well, don't run past that. Examine where you lost it. Examine where you lost the presence of God, where you started running on empty, and go back to it. Now, sometimes it's not a sinful thing, but it is sin, but it's not sin. It's sin not to pay attention. But maybe you need to go back because there was a time where you just got too busy being the Word of God. There was a time in which you just got too busy to pray. There's a time in which you got so wrapped up in the work that you stopped communicating with the one who works in you to do the work. Now, here's something interesting here about what Elisha did and didn't do. Did you notice what Elisha didn't do? He didn't say, you sorry prophet. Why didn't you just pay attention to the axe head? Why didn't you just sitting there wailing away, working away? What were you thinking? You don't think axe head's come off? If it was a bard, why didn't you? He's going to be so mad at you, you might as well get out of the ministry. You know what Elisha did? He didn't get mad, he didn't get hot. He just said, let's go back to where you lost it. Oh, that God would raise up people to take you back to where you lost it without leaving you where you lost it. Or did you lose it? Maybe it might be something. Maybe you lost it due to broken communion. You're not in communion. You're not in communion with the Lord. Maybe it was a misunderstanding with somebody. It might have been insignificant, but it just wore on you. At the time, it didn't seem significant, but in your mind, you replay it in your mind. I found out in my life that when I start replaying conversations in my mind, it's probably more significant than it was than I realized when it happened. Maybe you've ignored margins and you've ignored rest when you should have rested. My guys at my church, my deacons, whenever it was time for me to go, I was telling Brother Ron and Miss Carol about this on Sunday. They'd get up there and they'd say, all right, look, pastor's going to be gone for a couple of weeks. We've got a great staff and we're going to do our best to take care of whatever needs to come up. And we're going to let him rest. We're not calling him back. They gave me a prepaid phone, and this is what they would say to me. If this phone rings, it's an emergency. Answer it. If your phone rings and you answer it, it's because you wanted to. And they'd make sure I rested. And said, we'll see you back in 2 weeks. Y'all all right? See, in ministry today, it's different. I'm not just advocating. I'm advocating for you. You need to get. There are times you need to get away and just tell people or not answer your phone. I don't know what happened that just because the thing goes off, we feel compelled to have to answer it. My wife does that. I mean, we'll be somewhere and the phone rings and she gets nervous if she doesn't answer it. I say, honey, it's all right. You got voicemail. They'll get the leads. They're fine. She can't do it. That's a pleaser. She feels like she's upset somebody. I just feel like I don't want to answer it. Now, my mom and dad, they do this. If I don't answer it, they'll call right back again. And so finally I'll answer. I said, what is it? I said, well, I was calling you. Is everything all right? Yeah, we're fine. I was just checking on you. I said, well, you didn't answer the phone when I called. I'm sorry. I'm in the middle of a sermon, Mother. Can I help you with something? You'll laugh. That's really happened. So I'm just saying, it's okay not to answer the phone. It's okay to cut loose, but some of my much older preacher friends tell me that they are now retired. They said one of the things that drove us out is the accessibility that people had to us. You see, most of y'all remember this. There was a time in which the phone rang and nobody was there to answer it because it was attached to the wall. And people were okay with the fact that nobody was there to answer the phone. Y'all remember that? I mean, it was all right. Or if the line was busy. How disruptive was call waiting? It destroyed everything. But where did you lose it? Go back to where you lost it. Maybe you ignored margins and you ignored rest. You didn't rest when you should have rested. See, rest is just as much a discipline as work is. Where did you lose it? Did you lose it because you didn't heed godly counsel? Maybe it's an unforgiving spirit that has just really weighing on you. Maybe it is secret sin. Here's what I know, though. You will never recover your spiritual edge if you don't realize you've lost it. I've never found anything I didn't know I lost. Did y'all catch that? I didn't worry about it. I didn't get concerned about it. I didn't know anything about it. I was preaching. This is funny. I was preaching one time. And you know, most times what they teach you, the first thing in public speaking is to make sure that you do that. A lot of people are thinking you're checking to make sure your pants are zipped. Well, you know, one time I failed to do that. And my wife sat on the front row in horror. It was bothering her. And so, I mean, I just finally looked down there and she gave me a signal and I moved back behind the podium and I zipped it up. Afterwards, she said, you were just up there and it didn't bother you one bit. I said, because I didn't know it, honey. I didn't say, I wonder what it's going to be like to leave my pants unzipped while I preach today. I never had that conversation. The reason I didn't zip them up is I didn't know they were unzipped. I didn't know it. You just kept going. I mean, you wouldn't look. You didn't pay attention. Your pants were unzipped. Well, I wasn't bothered because I didn't know. Amen? It's kind of hard to recover from what you don't know, isn't it? If you don't know you've lost it, how in the world would you ever regain it? Now, look what he does here. In verse 6, and when he had showed in the place, he cut off a stick and threw it in there and made the iron float. Y'all know where I'm going. The cross makes it. The cross restores us. So you have to die to self in order to live to him. The cross makes all the difference. That's what that stick, that's a type, the cross. It's at the cross where I first saw the light. and the burdens of my sin rolled away at the cross. Oh, there's victory in the cross. It's at the cross. We died with him at the cross. He took my sins on himself at the cross. That's what 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 24 says, and he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by his wounds we are healed. The cross makes the way. But now don't miss this last part. Verse 7, he said, take it up for yourself. So he put out his hand and took it out. You got to believe it's true. You've got to take it up. You've got to appropriate what you know. And you have to take it. Isn't that what the Bible says? Take up your cross daily. Deny yourself. And follow me. See, self says you've got to go. You've got to perform. You've got to perform. You've got to perform. You've got to go. You've got to go. You've got to go. The cross says, no, self's not in control. The Savior is. I must decrease, he must increase. You'll wear yourself out trying to be a Christian. You'll never be Christian enough to be a Christian. Only Jesus is that way. And it's his righteousness that we've got to depend on. Oh, you might be working real hard, but can I tell you something? And you're getting tired. It's a good thing. It's a good work. Building a house for the prophets was a good work. They did it the right way. It started out in God-given power. But he got to working so hard that he lost the power. But he immediately stopped and cried out. Have you stopped yet? Have you stopped? Do you know if you're working in the power of the Holy Spirit or not working in the power of the Holy Spirit? Do you know? Maybe it's time you ought to stop. Not quit. Stop. So he went, he got the axe head, he went back to work. I'm not talking about quitting. I'm talking about stopping. There's a big difference. I stopped at a stop sign the way coming in here. I didn't quit driving. You understand that? Y'all ever heard that story about the boy? He got pulled over because he ran a stop sign. Policeman pulled him out and said, son, I'm pulling you over because I ran a stop sign. He said, officer, it's late at night. There's nobody here. It's a little old town. He said, I slowed down enough. I knew somebody wasn't coming. He said, sir, you ran the stop sign. I don't know if we'd call it running a stop sign. I went really slow into that right there. He said, no, young man, I'm telling you, you ran that stop sign. He said, officer, I'm telling you, I don't even know if I was going fast enough. I don't even know if I was going slow enough to call it slow. And by that time, the officer had enough, yanks him out, puts him in a headlock, and takes his billy club out and starts beating him on the head. He said, do you want me to slow down or you want me to stop? I'm not talking about slowing down. I'm talking about stopping. I'm not talking about quitting. I'm talking about stopping. And look back to where you lost it. Would you pray with me? I want to ask you something, every head bowed, every eye closed. Would you be so honest tonight? I won't pick you out. I promise I won't. I just want to pray for you. I've been there. I've been there. If you would say to me tonight, Bucky, this sermon was for me. Amen. Let me get the question out. This sermon was for me. I know what it is. I'm tired. And I've got to take a moment to stop. If that's you tonight, would you just raise your hand up? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Man, thank you. Father, for those people that just raised their hand, God, I pray, Lord Jesus, that I want to be like Elisha, Lord. I don't want to beat him up. I want to just say, hey, where'd you go lose it? Recognize where you lost it. And then believe that I'll give you rest. Believe that I'll restore you. believe that I'll give you the power back. But come to the cross. Die to the demands of this life. Die to the performance of ministry. And surrender to the power of ministry. Oh Lord Jesus, I pray for my brothers and sisters that lifted their hand, God. Oh Lord, they'd cast their cares upon you because you care for them. God, that they would leave the anxiety and come into the anticipation. God, you're not calling them to quit, but you do call us to stop. And God, it may be stopping for an hour. It may be stopping for a day. It may be stopping for a week. I don't know, God. It's stopping to get our edge back. Oh God, would you restore the edge to their life tonight? That sweet spiritual edge of your presence, of your power, and the lives of those that raise their hand. Father, there may be some that didn't raise their hand, but they're there. They know what I'm talking about. And God, would you put people in their life to come alongside of them, to lift up their hands, to help them walk on level places. God, to let them see that they've sown good seed. Oh, Lord, sometimes we don't stop long enough to recognize the crop that's been produced. We're so busy going from field to field that we don't stop and celebrate the harvest that you've been giving us. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, tonight I pray that you bring rest to where there's restlessness, God, that you bring restoration to where there's emptiness, God, that there be fullness there in that empty place. Oh, Lord Jesus, heal the hurting. Lift up the weak. Blow a fresh wind into their lives tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.